The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Families that go here, grow here.
All right. Beautiful sunrise this morning, Ariana Dunn, was it not?
It was absolutely gorgeous, yes.
You're like myself, up at the lark. Yes. Nice and early does it. And is that something you like to do, just to get most out of the day, get up and out?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been starting some training this last week with the Alta training programme. So I've been getting up at 5:15 every morning to go to the gym. So it's a new routine for me.
A new routine. People are listening and going, ugh, she makes me sick. And other people are going, yes, that's the way to do it. You are Ariana Dunn and you have joined us this morning, I think largely to talk about, we've got loads of places to go, but solo travelling intrigues me as a prospect, because it does fill so many people with fear. Mm. I could never do that, or I would never do that, or it's just not for me. And I remember going to the cinema on my own for the first time about 20 years ago. Start there, right? And thinking, I felt like a freak. And ever since then, I feel like a freak if I'm not going on my own. I just love it so much. So tell me a bit about yourself, and maybe take us into this general area of how you ended up solo traveling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give us your background.
I was the same when I first went to the cinema myself many years ago as well, putting a coat on the seat beside me so someone would think that it was somebody else's. But I go to the cinema on my own all the time now too. So I worked for 16 years working in the media industry, and I suffered some burnout 5 years ago, which is quite topical at the moment.
Sure is.
After Jacinda Ardern eloquently put it, with not having much left in the tank. And I decided that I wanted to kind of reassess and retrain and look at different ways in which I could kind of work for myself.
Will we look at the burnout for a moment before we get into the travelling and so on like that? What you were working in the media area, is that what you said?
Yeah, so I was working in advertising and publishing.
What does burnout feel like or look like?
So I've subsequently become a coach, so I know it quite well and I deal with it quite often. So it basically means that you just feel a bit sort of empty when it comes to work. You've totally checked out. Mm-hmm. You've lost all passion and all sort of drive, and you really just feel like you're kind of going through the motions. So
you've lost your work mojo.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I was working, you know, 14, 15 hour days and wasn't really sleeping, wasn't really eating properly, and feeling sort of all consumed by work. So you start to kind of like, a lot of the rest of your life sort of fades into the background and you become quite consumed by your career. And that can be very depleting if you get to that burnout point.
So I think a lot of people would love to know then is, how do you acknowledge burnout? Because if you're so engulfed by it, it makes it harder to know you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you separate the two and then ultimately deal with the problem?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's where having good friends, support and family kind of comes in. So, you know, for me, I think I had a lot of people who were sort of highlighting it and holding a mirror up to me and saying, you know, this isn't, you know, good for you, and, you know, maybe take a step back. And, you know, I think it's happening quite a lot now, and particularly post-COVID, people are feeling that kind of burnout and that kind of overwhelm, because, you know, separating life from work, it really became blurred and during that time. So, you know, if you are experiencing it, there are supports and there are helps out there. And, you know, in terms of people like coaches or therapy or whatever it is that you might need to kind of address it. Okay.
And you addressed yours?
Yes.
And came out the other side?
Yeah.
With a new sense of purpose? Would that be fair to say?
I took some time out. I actually went to the south of France. And I wanted to
if
write.
You don't mind.
I wanted to write a book. So I originally studied journalism, and I wanted to get back to that passion. So when you lose your passions, you look for your passions again, you know. And during that time, I sort of met lots of wonderful people. And one thing that kept coming back was my desire to want to help people and to not have other people experience that. So I decided to retrain as a coach with Mindstream training facility, where I now teach coaching, which is quite nice.
What are you coaching? Sorry, in terms of
life coaching, career coaching, relationship coaching. I mean, you can really coach on anything.
All right. So if people feel at a loose end or whatever, but it's not therapy?
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's not therapy. So therapy is more looking at the past and what got me to here, whereas coaching is all forward focused and where we can go. So it's goal setting and it's manifesting and it's looking at ways in which you can improve your life moving forward.
You know, I mentioned manifesting this morning in the context of Barry Keoghan, who is, and his generation, I mean, Barry's in his 20s or early 20s or something like that. And his generation, I've spoken to a few of them here on the show, love this manifestation thing, phenomenon. And it's not just their generation. I know older people. Can you give us a definition of it and tell me what is it? Is it how real? Or I mean, I'm a skeptic, so you need to try and explain it to me as somebody who's trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, in December last year, I said that I wanted to get on more radio and podcasts. And here I am in January. So that's manifesting at work, basically. So essentially, manifesting is saying out loud or writing down a goal or a particular achievement that you would like to aspire to, and then taking the action steps towards making that happen.
Basically. Now, can I be really cynical and say that sounds like ambition?
Yeah, potentially, but
it's just another word.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, ambition is often related more from a, maybe like a work perspective, where you can kind of manifest anything. You know, you can manifest your dreams.
you can manifest somebody to fill the seat in the cinema beside you that you have the coat on. And so rather than having, I mean, does it go to that like level?
Yeah, people have manifested their dream man or their dream woman.
Okay. And,
but what I mean is, it's like, it's what you have to do is identify something that you want, and then go and get it.
So you said more radio.
Yeah, and it's like, more radio, and then, you know, whatever those action steps that got me to being here. But if I hadn't said I wanted to go on the radio, I probably wouldn't have done those action steps, you know? So
You work with the Irish Country Magazine.
Yes.
Which is one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Because it's really, I think it's classy and really Irish, and it's not so urban in the sense that it covers it in a really nice way. That's my compliment to the magazine.
Thank you.
I really do. I've always said that, and I stand by that. And what are you doing with the magazine?
So I work 2 days a week for the magazine as the advertising manager. So I work on the commercial side of things, but I also have a life coaching column in the magazine. So I'm a columnist. And then I also write travel articles for them as well.
Well, let's get traveling. and let's talk, Arianne, about the solo travel expedition, the odyssey that you went on.
Yeah. Yeah, so I suppose like during COVID, like anyone, you know, waking up that first morning on the 15th of March with that utter dread of like, what is our life now? I suppose as soon as our wings got clipped, I really felt the urge to just get in my car and drive. And it was an overwhelming urge that I had. And obviously I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't go anywhere. I'm one of 8 kids. I'm the 5th girl, and we're all a family of adventurers. So I've got family all over the world. And the prospect of not being able to see them for however long, you know, was really saddening me. And I suppose just the idea of there being so much of the world still to see and not knowing how long we would be in lockdown for. So I suppose this little niggle just kept, you know, eating away at me. And every day I'd meet my mum for our bubble walk, and I'd talk about it. And as soon as restrictions lifted, I packed up my car with my little dog Molly, and like a Tetris champion's dream, I packed up my car and off I went and hit the road.
Well, why don't you introduce us to Molly? She's not here, but what are we talking about?
So Molly Bloom, I'm a Bloomsday baby, so she's named after Molly Bloom from Ulysses. And actually, we sailed away on the Ulysses Irish Ferries, which
even
is quite
better.
Ironic.
But
Molly is a beautiful chocolate brown cockapoo. She's about 8 kilos, and she's just my bestest little friend. And I have her about 4.5 years.
And you packed her. Packed your Tetris boot, got in the car and headed to the Ulysses boat.
Yes.
And went where?
So I basically decided to go on a little year travel, nomadic, digital nomad, working abroad life in Europe. So I went through the UK, down through London, and onto the Channel Tunnel into Paris, where I lived for a month in Montmartre, which was beautiful. And then went down to Denia in Spain, which is in between Alicante and Valencia. Spent 2 months living there. Went over to Portugal, Lisbon, Seville. I had my 40th birthday month in Marbella, and then went back up.
40th birthday month, the style.
I had friends coming and family.
Good Lord.
And then the south of France, so living in Provence for about a month and a half, then into Italy where I spent 4 months, then over to Croatia, Austria, Switzerland. So basically 11 countries, 35,000 kilometres and about 150 cities.
Amazing. And we were all sitting in our living rooms on laptops going, why aren't we seeing the world? But obviously it was all COVID.
Yeah,
my work
all went remote in COVID.
That's what I was going to say. Before we talk about where you went and what you loved and how you got on, what let's park the before they start texting and saying, oh, that's well for her because she's loaded and posh. So let's deal with that thing. So you tell us a bit about how you funded it and just to kill off the hate.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I definitely don't have. I've no money in my bank right now, but I've got a bank full of memories and experiences. So
try paying your mortgage with that.
Exactly. But yeah, so no, look, obviously, you know, having gone and retrained and worked myself, I had to start from the ground up, you know. So I do lots of different things that bring me joy and make me money. I'm a celebrant. I do weddings and baby naming ceremonies. I write wedding speeches. I'm a consultant. I teach. I lecture. I do loads of different things. But
well, I'm impressed.
But just like lots of little things that, and lots of eggs and lots of baskets. So when COVID happened, all my celebrancy business went away, obviously, because everything got cancelled. But my lecturing, my coaching ramped up because people were feeling lost or on furlough and looking for different things to do. And obviously, Irish Country Magazine has been Irish Country Magazine. We stayed printing for the whole of COVID, people were really wanting to showcase Irish brands and Irish made products.
So important for the couple of years, even you know, here we were, and on the Late Late, just constantly saying, you know, go to the village, go to the town.
Yes.
Keep an eye on our brothers and sisters trying to make a book locally. And that's what your magazine was doing too, exactly. As we well know. What about all this grafting that you're talking about? That's great.
Yeah.
That you know where to seek out a book and make sure that you're not bored or poor. Yeah, yeah. Where does that come from? Does that come from a family of eight that, you know, you got to get fed? So
yeah, kind of, exactly. You know, it's, I suppose I just have always had a good sort of work ethic. I've always had ideas. I've always had a desire to kind of naturally, I suppose, just like do what I'm good at. And, you know, I think that's what happened with the burnout. I was working for so long because people were like, you're really good at this. But I realized if you're passionate about something, you can be good at anything. And so, you know, I think nowadays people, I'm a multi-hyphenate is how I call myself.
What does that mean?
A multi-hyphenate means I have multiple hyphens in terms of, you're a multi-hyphenate. You are a broadcaster and a presenter and a writer and an activist and all of these different things. So it's,
well, again, that's a stretch, but you just mean that you have
multiple skills,
okay,
that you're not pigeonholed into being just one thing.
I like that.
Anymore. People can be whatever they want to be.
Yeah, there's a change of vibe, isn't there, post-pandemic? Yeah. I think people want to, they don't really want more of the same.
Yeah.
Whether it's work or play, they just want to chance things and have a little bit more fun in their
lives. Absolutely.
I would hope.
Absolutely. And I think people, you know, who are interested in fitness, you know, suddenly start kind of thinking maybe I could do a fitness program and maybe, you know, have that to my skills and do that part time as well as doing my other things. You know, long be the days where you had to just be a doctor or a lawyer or a banker. You can be multiple things now.
Tell me about traveling around Europe. You went to 11 countries, Wales, England, France, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Croatia, Slovenia, Austria, Liechtenstein and Switzerland.
Yeah.
How was it for you traveling largely alone? You said you had friends here and there, but largely alone.
Yeah.
Were you nervous about that? I mean, obviously you had Molly, your dog, with you, but were you nervous about that? Were you concerned? Were your family concerned for you? I mean, did you have all of these things going on?
Yeah, of course. My mum was projecting a lot of fear onto me initially, you know, was kind of sort of saying, oh, you can't be doing that now. That's, you know, that'll be dangerous. But I'm quite a confident person. I have a lot of faith in humanity and a lot of faith in the good of people. And like I said, you know, you have to be safe wherever you are. You have to make sure that you don't, you know, put yourself in vulnerable situations, whether that be in Dublin or whether that be in anywhere. So
were you treated respectfully around the place?
Absolutely.
Great.
I had never felt a moment of fear.
In all the countries and all the places you went?
In all the countries I'd been to, no.
What a positive result that is.
Yeah, it was lovely. I think a really nice thing as well is that when you're travelling, you lose all your judgments, you know, because like when you're in Ireland, you naturally, as soon as someone's opened their mouth, you kind of like know where they're from or like, you know someone who might know them or what school they went to. Whereas when you're travelling, you know nothing. You just have to take people as they are and take the places that you live or arrive into as they are. And there's a kind of a lovely freedom in that.
If I ever have traveled alone away, the only thing I suffer from more than anything else is not loneliness, it's boredom. And it's boredom with not having someone or some people to you know, shoot the breeze with, have a beer with. But that's because my personality probably needs company.
Yeah.
So did you have any...
You were probably missing a dog, you know. You don't get bored when you have a dog.
Well, thanks for that.
So yeah, like, you know, obviously we had to go and have walks on the beaches and in the mountains and do all of that, and kind of, she's an energetic little thing. But no, because I was still working, I was working remotely, so I was still having all of my interactions with Zoom, via Zoom and things like that. And then I made lots of friends as well.
Okay.
Everywhere I went, you know, there was expat communities, and just randomly people would be like, oh, I like your dog, and then you'd start chatting and then you had a new friend.
Dogs appear to be the great social entree for conversations for people,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
everywhere, any city, anywhere, any park, any beach around the world.
Yeah.
Highlights. I mean, I'm tempted to ask you highlights in terms of the tourist spots that you just went.
Yeah.
What were the knockouts?
So I suppose it's really hard. People are like, what was your favourite place? I can't answer that because everywhere is so amazing. But city-wise, Lisbon and Seville and Venice were absolutely incredible. I had an amazing time in the lakes, Como, Garda, Lake Bled in Slovenia.
I've never
just
been to any of these places.
Stunning.
They
sound
lovely.
My goodness, they're amazing.
Slovenia, I've got this Balkan thing in my head I'd love to go to.
Oh, Slovenia was like a revelation. It was beautiful. I was in Ljubljana and Lake Bled, which was beautiful. And then like just the countryside of Tuscany or the countryside of Provence, like the little towns that, like, there's so much surprising things, you know. You always hear about the Colosseum in Rome, but like, I didn't realize there was like a Colosseum style amphitheater in almost every city in Europe. They're everywhere.
That'll be the Romans.
Yeah. They knew what they were doing,
for
those guys.
And amazing and feats of engineering.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
In Pula in Croatia, a seaside town, there's a beautiful amphitheater that looks out over the sea. And everywhere was beautiful. It's kind of what you make of it, though, you know.
Valentine's Day, discuss.
It's coming up.
Well, I meant to, you know,
I'm still single. on my travels, basically, I was living in Paris and it was Valentine's Day. What a place to be, single in Paris. And I was in my little studio apartment and I just thought, you know what? I'm in the city of love. I'm not going to sit in like Bridget Jones, you know, with a bottle of wine singing all by myself. So instead, I decided to take myself out on a Valentine's date and I got dressed up in a nice Carrie Bradshaw style pink dress. And I went to a beautiful local restaurant with some young chefs, and I sat at the counter and I had a lovely meal, and the chefs were treating me because they were impressed by me being on my own. And Molly and I went and had some drinks afterwards in a coffee shop, in a cafe, and it was just beautiful. It was a really nice thing to do.
So you didn't meet anyone on the date. You said you're just going on a date with yourself and Molly to our restaurant, and you just managed to befriend a few chefs who were...
Yeah. It wasn't quite Emily in Paris, but you know, it was close. My close enough experience.
Okay. Well, again, a positive interpretation of it all. And now you're back home.
Yes.
And you're up at the crack of dawn doing your training and everything, and all the 6,000 other jobs you're doing as well. but you do have a new focus in your life, and I'm intrigued to hear more about that.
Yeah, like, so I suppose, and in the next issue of the magazine, I'm writing about challenges and how, you know, I think it's important that we challenge ourselves and push ourselves out of our comfort zone. So after an incredible year that I had, I wanted to come home and just challenge myself more, so I didn't get depressed after being all around Europe.
So
I'm doing this MMA training, which will culminate in a fight in a cage in June, which is going to be exciting. It's 100 days, getting up very early in the morning.
You're going to fight in a cage?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Is Coach Kavanagh?
Yes, Coach John Kavanagh, yeah, SPG Gym. I really indulged in initially, so I decided I needed to get fit. Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, I'm going to do all 32 counties of Ireland. So with Google Maps, Europe was lit up with the red pins this year, and I realised that actually Ireland is the most beautiful country, and I'm so happy to be home. And I've never visited all 32 countries, so my quest, I suppose, this year would be to light up Ireland with those red pins. Every county in Ireland. So I've done Antrim. I did Antrim last weekend or 2 weekends ago. Might do it alphabetically.
That's what you said, Antrim, absolutely.
Just lots of other things as well in terms of what this year might bring.
All right. And there's a travelling solo to a whole other world order. Do you want to talk about that as well? Or?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, you know, like obviously I turned 40 in June last year and, you know, there is that ticking clock, I suppose, in COVID. Lots of single women had that ticking biological clock. So I'm potentially going to be exploring a solo journey to motherhood later in the year, depending on how other things work out. But it's something that I'm eager to explore. And I think it's a lot common now in a lot of of women who didn't have the opportunity to meet someone sort of the natural way. And so the amazing world of technology and fertility is allowing us to make that decision ourselves. So it's certainly, having soloed Europe, I'm more confident now in my other abilities to do other things solo
as well.
Okay, well,
good on you. And I wish you every success in that and your next odyssey, as we say.
Yeah.
Well, look, I've really enjoyed talking with you this morning and thanks so much for fitting us in on your very exciting world.
Thank you.
Good luck in the cage. Good luck in everything that you do. And thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rhianna Dunn joining us in studio this morning. And you can read her column in Irish Country Magazine, which is, as I say, one of the better ones out there today. All right, the time now is 14 minutes to 10.